if a special needs trust is paying for housing and that results in ISM and reduces their SSI check, but if they flow it through the ABLE account, that's not the case. So this seems like an end run around federal law. So what do you say about that?
Well, you know, here's a really important concept, just since we're going to cover so much in an hour. The reason this works for housing is that the ABLE account belongs to the benefits recipient. I mean, this is really key. And I know this is a huge thing that comes up, and I was fortunate to be involved in actually getting this policy out there. But the thing about it is, whether it comes from a special needs trust or wherever it comes from, when you take the money, put it in the special needs trust, and then or put it in the ABLE account, and the ABLE account pays for the housing or pays for the food, we just paid for food and shelter with whose money? Anybody paying attention? Whose money was it? Is there a reduction when we pay for food and shelter with the beneficiary's own money? No. No. That's how it works. That's the magic. That's how it works, pure and simple. And even if it goes into the account for 1 second, that's all that matters. This is huge. This will save over $3,000 a year by doing absolutely nothing, okay? And actually, there's all sorts of examples about how you can make this work. This is huge. You know, I own a boat, so I can blow through $3,000 in a weekend, no problem here. But, you know, for these folks, $3,000, that's a lot of money. That alone makes this really valuable. And as a trustee, and I know we have a number of trustees out here, you know, this has really been a boon for us. Yes.
Some people might call that money laundering, but I work for a state treasurer's office.
So Doug and Linda, who is going to review these distributions to make sure they are compliant, make sure that they are for qualified disability expenses?
The programs will not review it when you make a withdrawal from the program. We do not ask you if it's for a qualified or for an unqualified distribution. IRS can come in and look at those transactions. Social Security might possibly ask some questions about it, so we always recommend that people keep really good records of that, but the program does not ask.
And do the programs report to the SSA?
Yeah, we are required to make monthly reports to the Social Security office.
About each account?
Each account is reported upon. It's account numbers in aggregate, so it doesn't look at each line item expense that's reported, but it talks about contributions that come in and distributions that go out within each account, and then the account balance, and that's reported by Social Security number.
But you're not reporting every distribution.
Absolutely not.
No.
No.
Okay. And the way I read the POMS is that, well, we'll get to that. Setting up the account. So to set up the account, first of all, it has to be set up either by the individual or by their parent, guardian, or power of attorney agent. How does the program determine that somebody's disabled if they're not receiving SSI, Medicaid, or SSDI?
Almost all programs just do a self-attestation process. As you go through the enrollment process, it will ask you those questions. What makes this individual eligible to participate? Are they receiving SSI or SSDI? Are they one of the conditions, the compassionate conditions list, are they on that? Or do they have a doctor's certificate saying they're disabled? But most programs are not asking for that information at the time of enrollment.
Okay. And then, Steve, let's say you're sitting with clients and you determine that an ABLE account is part of the plan. Do you open the account for them? Are you sitting there with them, or are you just sending them home to open it and hope they do it correctly?
Well, as the attorney here, rarely do I do that. Although I have had some situations where I will just sit down with them and go through the computer. By the way, I actually have a video on my website with somebody who in 9.5 minutes with one finger opens up a stable account. I mean, it just doesn't take very long. As far as that, there may be some counseling involved. Most of the benefit I'm getting from the practice isn't really actually setting up the accounts. It's doing the counseling and getting the trust on the side. As a trustee, because I'm the trustee of the Golden State Pooled Trust, oftentimes what we'll do is get a power of attorney and we will set it up. But, you know, that's deeper into the woods there.
So what if the person is incapacitated, They don't have a parent, they don't have a guardian, and they don't have a power of attorney because they don't have capacity. Who's going to set up this ABLE account?
Really, at that point, you're talking about a conservator or a guardian, depending on what you call it in your state. Here, and for instance, in California, so you can kind of look at this, how this works through states, the courts are just now discovering what this thing is, and so they're getting all their different court rules together. I think as time goes on, we'll do it. The first couple times we did it, it was a little wonky, but this is also when you are looking at this, I will tell you, going back to what Doug said, as far as accepting a guardianship or a conservatorship, there are some programs that they want everything under the sun. There are some folks, they just want the letter of guardianship and you're done. And that's one of those things where that actually does affect which programs that we use.